how to eat in 10 minutes.
Oh, I hate
Well,
that.
those lunches were 10 to 15 minutes because they were
Oh.
so tight because
Oh.
the elementary kids, you brought them in, they ate, you went.
It is 6:30, so yes.
All right. I'd like to call to order the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen special meeting and budget workshop number 4, Thursday, February 1st, 2024, the Town Hall, 6:30 p.m. Number 2 on the agenda is the Fire Marshal budget, and William Call is going to be presenting it.
Right.
Hi.
You know everybody, Bill?
Hi, Bill. Tim Zeller. Nice to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
Gwen Marion.
Hi, Gwen.
Mather Clark.
You related to?
Probably not.
Malin and just.
No, no.
Okay.
It's related to Clark Landscaping.
Okay.
And I know Bill. He visited my house, unfortunately.
Just last week.
Just last week.
I heard you made out very well.
Yes.
So I'm going to call the guy, come check mine.
I was going to say, someone up there was looking up.
Do we know who that 2-8-2-8-2-8-1?
We don't. They don't have to identify unless they speak.
Well, I didn't know if it was Amanda. She, okay. Okay, we're ready.
I mean, it's... As Jim stated, you know, I sat down with Jim and went over the numbers, and if you look at the bottom line, there is a substantial cut for the most part. You know, there was a cut in a little bit in training, other protective technical services was cut down to zero. A little bit on supplies was added, but as you can see, there's quite a bit been cut from this budget, keeping it less than zero. So if anybody has any questions, I'll try to entertain them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
There's also just, don't know all the details, but in the near future, Jim Quish is going to be the deputy fire marshal, from what I understand. He's also working part-time in the building department. So in my absence, you know, he'll fill in, such as when, if Jim was on vacation, I covered him and vice versa. So Jim will be filling in for that also. But he's going to be primarily working in the building department. So.
And he has all the education, actually teaches.
So. Yeah, he's got dual certification as a building official and fire marshal, he's one of the few like me that have that.
Which puts us in a really good position.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, is there any questions?
Nope.
But we don't need a vote.
No,
we just need to. Thank you for coming.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hold on.
The next on our agenda is
recreation.
Recreation. Stephanie?
Hi, everyone. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. So you guys have, I'm Stephanie, I'm the rec director. You guys should have a summary of my budget. My budget is a little bit different than most of the other budgets. The breakdown here, and if anyone has questions or needs any more information, I actually have specific tabs for each of these line items for my budget, but it kind of just breaks down my expenditures and revenues that I expect to receive from these programs. And that just has a breakdown of all of that in there. So if anyone wants that, I would be happy to send that. But the only thing that really matters for the town budget is the bottom part that says request for town support. So in my drop decision package, the only portion of the rec budget that could potentially be dropped is the portion that the town supports. You'll see a decrease in it from last year because there was additional money in there for potential salary discussions last year. But this year, the only portion of it that's in there is due to salary increases. Minimum wage has continued to rise. So in order to be able to foot that, it's actually an additional $10,000 extra this year. If you look at my budget summary and the other payroll line, that's for my summer counselors, my lifeguards, my school year counselors. Due to minimum wage rising, it's actually almost $10,000 more this year than it was last year. So that is what the additional $4,000, $4,156 that I'm requesting from the town, that will be covering the raise in minimum wage. And as the rest of my budget is self-funded, that's the only item that could potentially be dropped. So without that money, the rec department could possibly be in the red, depending on how well our programs do. I did have discussions with Jim earlier on in the year. We would really like to get the rec department fully funded by itself. And some of my goals for the next year or 2 years is to come up with a couple more programs that are quote unquote money makers so that we don't have to request money from the town in order to be sustainable. And right now, those two programs that make us the most money are summer camp and basketball, and then the lake, depending on, you know, if we don't rain every weekend like we did last year. So that's my budget. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
One. Hi.
Yeah.
Bob Moore.
Just it looks good. And I'm just wondering, it looks like the summer camp program has come back from the COVID thing fairly well. You may have even expanded. I can't quite tell, but it looks that way from the rough figures. Am I correct in saying that?
So at least the 4 years that I've been here, obviously during COVID, we had to minimize our numbers. But our Herrick Park summer camp usually brings in about 50 kids per week, depending on the week. Of course, there's some weeks we get less because it's like the 4th of July week or something. You will see that the revenue is a little bit more than past years simply because minimum wage has, again, continued to rise. So we need to rise those prices a little bit to be able to sustain that. But my hope is that if I can get a couple more programs that make money like that, obviously not to the how much the camp makes, because that's really our biggest moneymaker, but hopefully I can have the camp prices go down a little bit for our residents, because that is the one thing that I know parents are tight with money as it is, so the cost of childcare is not helpful. So I'd love to be able to bring those prices back down a little bit, but some of that revenue is from that.
Great, thank you.
Stephanie, along those same lines, it seems like you make good revenue with the summer camp, but you have a capacity limit, right? I mean, you can only take so many kids, so there is a cap on how much we can make with that particular program. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we do have wait lists. Last year, we had wait lists on about half of the weeks. The year before that, we had wait lists on most of the weeks. But we can only fit 50 kids at Herrick Park. So unless we were given permission to start a second camp somewhere, like if the school was going to give us their facility over the summer or something like that, we could, of course, start a new camp. And I think we would be able to, you know, have the numbers for that. But I don't know if that's a possibility.
Sounds like you have some ideas for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a sunny summer, the revenues from the park probably
they go up a bit.
Would go up, and that would help you as well.
Yeah, last summer.
That one is so adjusted by the damn weather.
The weather and algae blooms.
And algae, yeah. Everything is. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to budget in. But
yeah.
Hopefully you have a good year and help build up the revenue, your reserves.
I hope so.
I have a question. How does the cost of the camp, the Herrick Park camp, compare to other camps in the area, like Camp New Haka, for example, and like the programs offered?
Yeah, so I don't have any offhand. I did actually get an email from Tallinn today, because I don't have the breakdown for you guys. So of course, if you want it, I can send it over to you guys. But this year I'm going to try to do pricing. So we have one price for residents and one price for non-residents. So Tallinn had emailed us about that. And I know that Tallinn's prices are a little bit cheaper. For example, their full week of summer camp without AM and PM care is $120. And ours is about $190 for residents right now. And their non-resident prices are like $260, which is a little bit more than what we were going to be offering this year. But I try to stay around the same price as a lot of the towns surrounding us. Some towns are fully funded by themselves, like their rec departments are fully funded. Some towns get town support. So I can certainly look up some numbers if you guys wanted more.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, if you want, just be curious. And I think it's a good idea to offer a discounted rate to town residents, and if that means perhaps increasing a little, you know, kind of maneuvering those numbers a little bit to still net the same revenue, but give a perceived discount or a real discount to a Bolton resident, I think that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I have in my budget to do for this coming summer. So we'll absolutely be doing that.
Very good. Gwen?
I have a question for you. And under remarks on your description, your decision package, you mention the savings account. Is that what's known as the recreation round fund?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's just the fund where the income comes in, payments go out of.
Yes, I believe that. I don't know if Jill might actually be able to tell you guys better, but I believe I believe it's just for recreation, but that is where our money goes into and our money comes out of.
There you are. And that one, if we have a surplus, it'll carry over. Unlike other budget. So it was structured that way. When we first started, we were subsidizing quite heavily until the program got built up. And like what she's done now, it's at that self-sustaining. And if things get better, you actually build up a surplus. If something goes wrong, it just makes life easier for the poor director.
What's the name of that fund?
Recreation Round
Fund. Yeah.
Okay, is there any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Well done. Appreciate it.
It's almost so.
That would be cool.
And improved from the year before.
Oh, yeah, by a lot.
Yep.
Well, we had to recover from the COVID.
Yeah, it's that was brutal.
But it's close to being.
Oh, real close.
Yeah.
And it's very well explained.
Yeah.
Now we have the registrar of voters.
It's a good service and attribute to the town.
Oh, yeah.
For no cost.
Right. Exactly.
And we have.
Oh, it took us 20 years to get there. But we got there.
We have Sandy Ross and Bernice representing. You can sit at the table.
Well, yeah. Don't sit, be comfortable.
Well, just
and then I can see the board.
It's going to be kind of hard to sit at the table, but I assume I'm on the wall.
Well, you're at the table with us, Sandy.
Hey, Bernice, how are you? Hey, Ross.
Sorry, let me get those.
Hey, Ross.
Someone's having no say.
I know.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
Well.
Put a smile on her face.
I wish we could. I think now that you're reading those papers, we should just hide under the table before things start coming at us.
Stephanie said, I was telling Bernice, we should start charging people to vote.
Yeah.
Get some revenue.
What do you think?
Might not go over with the feds.
Early voting costs twice. Twice as much.
No. Four times.
What's that? What did you say, Sandy?
She didn't. I thought she said something else.
I said early voting costs four times.
Four times.
Do you all have our.
We do.
Our budget. We've all pretty much been speaking with you. I'm sure none of you were terribly shocked. I mean, it's in black and white. You don't like seeing what you see, just like we didn't like putting it down, but it is what it is. We've been tasked by our positions to run elections, and the state and the feds tell us what to do. And we have a lot of mandates, especially with early voting this year. So, we have to factor that in. For next year's budget, the good news is the first cycle of early voting is in this year's budget in April. And we did get a $10,500 grant from the state to help us with that. So some, depending how, where it goes, if it's for certain supplies that we'll be using over and over again, then we won't have to pay for those again. They'll be one-time expenses. But this whole thing is a learning curve for all of us. We really don't know how it's going to pan out. We don't know what the outcome will be as far as turnout. We don't know peak times, if there will be or not. So this first time is, I say, we're guinea pigs. You know, we're just going to be experimenting as we go along, see what works, what doesn't. And the week after the primary is our conference. There'll be big discussion about that at the conference as to what happened in various towns. And, you know, is it going to be well received by the voters or not?
It's the April primary.
April primary is April 2nd.
Is after that.
Yeah, our conference is the week after. So there's a lot.
Well, the Secretary of State is also considering this a learning experience. Mm-hmm. When we've been on the calls with her and her team, they are also all new, in addition to having new mandates that they have to do, like the early voting and getting this new equipment and so forth. Yeah. So they're also saying pretty much the same thing to us, that we are telling you that it's a learning experience for them, and they don't expect to have it all nailed before we actually go to vote. You know, right. For early voting.
We are having meetings every week with the Secretary of State's office. They have Zoom meetings. Now they're at a point where they're doing 2, 3, and 4 a week of Q&A, because we're coming up with questions as we're preparing and as we're reading the draft. It's still a draft, but they haven't given us the final prep workbook, if you want to call it that, based on the, what is it, 38-page bill?
Yeah.
And so it's still a draft. And when you start reading it, and then you go, oh, what about this? What about that? And, you know, maybe I think of something, maybe you think of something, maybe. And when it comes up at the Secretary of State's office, they go, oh, we'll have to discuss that and get back to you. And they do.
The manual is still in draft form.
Yes.
Correct.
And yes. The best way to look at is you have a bunch of lawyers that work for Stephanie trying to take the legislation and sort of compile it and condense it into one document that's a little smaller than the legislation.
Right.
And they don't know our process either. So then we wait for the Registrars of Voters Association of Connecticut then to turn it into more readable and usable guidelines because they know our workflow. So yeah. It's a multi-step process, unfortunately.
Right now, we have about 10 pages of Q&A, and there are still about 20 questions that say they're researching. So the next Q&A call is Monday. And I'm sure, since these are not required calls, but optional calls, there will be new questions that arise, because every time they answer something, it brings up six questions that some of us hadn't thought about yet.
And I like Sandy said, they left it to be optional. I don't think it's optional. it behooves us to get on there and listen and see what's happening. But the Secretary of State's office is very good on answering questions in a written format. It takes about a week later, but it's coming out. Now they're doing like a running Q&A so that they're not repeating the same question. If they see it's already been answered, they're not answering it again. And they're also putting on where we can get onto these calls a second time if we want to listen to it again. You know, missed some things and you want to be able to review it, we can. So it's just time. Everything is a lot of time. And so we are working feverishly on all of that. And then, of course, after that, right after the primary, we've got to start getting ready for the budget referendums. And then right after we're done with that, we've got to start getting ready for the August primary. Sometimes we've only got 3 and 4 weeks referendums too. So this year is very challenging for us. We've got a very good team. Of course, I've got some sitting here.
I don't know if I'm eligible anymore.
I don't think you are. Yeah. It depends what the job is. Let's see. But I'm saying in the past you've helped us. It depends on what kind of an election it is and what position you're in as to whether you can help us or not, you know.
But you're running for office.
Right. And last year we were really caught because 7 of our workers were on the ballot. So we had 7 workers down for that election. We had no room to spare. There were a few of us that were.
You're good. Yeah. Nobody's running.
Well, but we have like 4 elections at each time because of the
primary. I mean, per elections, to say that it's that good. That is actually a question. Yeah. I know you also base it on so many projected referendum, and I don't remember what that is.
4.
It's based on 4.
Mm-hmm.
4. So that's 8, right? For this year. Oh, no.
No.
This year we already covered just that 4.
Unless we go into July.
Right.
Sure, and then if we go into July as the 4th one, then we're in the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise they're in this fiscal
year. Yeah. Okay.
And they were budgeted before.
So you got 2 primaries, 1 election, 2 polling places.
Right.
Referendum.
4 primaries.
But 4 primaries. Because
actually, it was
4 primaries? Yeah.
Two primaries. 2
actual districts, at least,
and two parties. So you're running two in District 2, Democrat and Republican, two in District 1, Democrat and Republican. So we're running four elections on each primary, essentially. That's how it breaks down with the, with the moderator's returns and everything else.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure this screwy thing out.
Ask any questions. If we can answer them, we will. So it's.
Yeah, we live in state and federal law that most of you are lucky enough not to have to deal with.
Well, I'm focused on the fact that advertising and dues and fees didn't change.
Well, not at this point.
Not at this point.
Something's changed in July and we don't know yet.
It's a start.
I mean, the big delta is really from the early voting.
Yeah, that early voting is really costing us $85,000 this year. Now, don't think this will be carried over every year because next year's a municipal election. Municipal election does not have early voting. Okay. So next year we would not have this huge expense that we have this year. However, the following year is a state election, back to early voting and primaries and all that. So every other year you kind of have a little reprieve because it's a municipal year.
And then every fourth year you get a whammy like this.
This one, yeah. So we have a really big storm this year because everything is just, and the early voting hasn't, to have it come now is... It just adds to the challenges. And they're talking about new machines, possibly this year. New programs that we're using. The state, we hope.
Secretary, it's planned to be paid for by the state through bonding, and the bonding's been approved. However, we're going to have to all of our people to use them, and that's going to fall on us.
Right. Oh, and that's
likely, however.
Yeah. Even with the early voting and all, we have to take extra training classes. In other words, we're being trained to train our workers. So we have additional classes that we have to take. And then our Congress program that we use is supposedly being updated and then replaced.
And that's
also scheduled for this year.
That we use to manage elections and voters.
And our EMS program, where we put in all the statistics at the end on election night that are due by midnight, that is supposedly being replaced this year.
Can I ask another similar?
Is what they're
proposing for a new voting machine similar to in how ours currently works? As far as
we don't know,
you fill out a sheet, you feed it, you don't.
The basics, yeah. I think, are the same. There's no internet connection. It's paper, so that you have an audit trail.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
They had at our conference several vendors demonstrating the different machines, and then the Secretary of State had a day where at the Capitol that was supposed to be where you could come in and look at them and talk to the vendors, which was essentially what had happened at the conference, but then they did it again. And we're waiting for an answer from the Secretary of State. And she's waiting for answers from the legislature and so on. So there's just a lot going on this year. So we're just here.
Another question, brings up another question, because there's a reasonable possibility that the primaries come and you're using the current machines.
Correct.
Yes.
Would they change them before the next election? I mean,
we don't know.
That was their original plan. I don't know.
Oh.
They're in session as of next week.
I mean, that makes no difference. I mean, that makes no sense because you have to retrain everybody again. Mm-hmm.
You're using sense in the state legislature and same sense.
And the other is are no parts available for our existing machines. So if they break or go down, you're handicapped because you don't have enough tabulators to process for your election. So they're under a bit of the state's under a bit of pressure to move quickly on getting the tabulators.
And the problem is, no, I'm not aware of any of the vendors having a stockpile in case they get chosen.
No.
They have to be made. They have to be built. So I really don't think, and I shouldn't say that. I just shouldn't say that. But
yeah. We don't know.
We don't know.
The only thing we do know is we have 6 tabulators, and that'll cover like a primary with 2 in one district and 2 in the other, and then 2 backups. And then you start, if any of those backups go, then you start getting worried because these things are all old and there's no replacement parts for them unless they cannibalize something else.
Right. So, yeah. So what we're really here, we're presenting the budget for next year, but we're also just asking for a lot of support and a lot of patience because we've got a lot ahead of us this year that's... many, many, many 12-hour days, 20-hour days, 8-hour days. No, we're not going to have weekends. We're working Saturdays. We're working Sundays for early voting. It's going to be tough. So I sent out a memo the other day just to let everybody know to all of our the workers we currently have. I'm already getting replies, with dates and when they might be available. I'm willing to work. We can work half days. The workers can. The moderators cannot. We cannot. We have to be there all day. So we will start scheduling out, making a schedule for the year so that we can at least know and have backup people, so we can get through having enough people.
So you said there's 10 pages of questions that are out there waiting for answers?
No.
Well, questions that Registrar of Voters community across the state has raised, and there's probably in that 10 pages about 15 to 20 questions where the Secretary of State's office has said, good question, we'll research it and get back to you.
So all the other questions, have any of them affected what it would cost, or is it just procedural questions?
No, they're procedural because the bill has determined how many hours we have to have early voting and what days. The whole state will be on the same schedule for that.
There is still a question of how many bodies we need. We are required to have at least one representative from each political party in the office every day of our voting. And we don't know yet if one of those individuals could serve as the moderator or if the moderator has to be a third person. And we also need a person of every party to be able to provide a curbside voting service.
Well,
and we're not sure if those people can leave the office to go to curbside voting. So is it 2? Is it 3? Is it 5?
Yeah. Right. Because there's 2 parties involved, 2 primaries. Primaries, a Democratic primary is Democrats working. Republican has Republicans.
Yeah.
So if you have curbside people, you still need 2 people, but they now need to be of the same party because you can't cross because it's a primary.
What if you have an unaffiliated? Why can't that person do either one?
That's one of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah, because we'll see. On a regular election, unaffiliates can work with us, but on primaries, things are a little stickier.
Yeah, so we have to sign.
So we don't know what their answer is.
No, those are questions that we've been asking. And the other thing you have to take into account is, well, let's say that you have 3 people there, and that's 2 Dems and 1 Republican. The Republican has to go out, get sick, whatever, during the day. Who covers for that person? So it's almost like you have to have a minimum of 4 there in order to provide the coverage that the state is asking for. And that's assuming one of them can also be the moderator.
Right. And they did touch on that last week about us being moderators. And
We're still waiting.
Well, and what I got mostly out of that was no, but they were checking. Because so we're supposed to be entering into the Converse system because we'll be entering as people vote so that it's live. So people can't go to other towns if they've moved. And you know, because it's not a regular election day.
So we planned on the most number of people being required. And that way, if it turns out you don't need that many, then we can lower our numbers, which is better than starting low and coming back high.
Right.
So if you ask them if an unaffiliated person could service both parties. I'm asking. I don't know. But
I don't know.
I would ask them. I don't. I mean, they probably would say no, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Because
those that's governed under party rules, Bob, and I don't know about Republican Party rules, but Democratic Party rules say that we should use Democrats only unless no one else is available.
Well, maybe that's the
I think we're getting to the available question.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that
means. Right. Thank you.
Do the workers have to be from town?
Depends on the position.
Yes, you're right.
Depends because on the position. Moderator can be a borrowed from another town.
Yeah.
But others might not be allowed, is what you're saying.
Correct. Like the ARs can't. The assistant registrar position has to be within town.
A town elector.
Correct. Yes. Correct. The
but a checker, if you bring them in as in this.
Well, early voting is different. It's not set up the same way as a regular polling place. You know, there are not stations like there are at the polling place, and there's not. We thought there'd be less people, but in the end, maybe not too many less. But it's a whole different process because instead of, well, we actually still have to do the checker list as a backup in case the Converse system goes down.
Right. Yeah.
So we're doing two systems at early voting. The manual one and then the electronic one that's going to be, you know, that they say is going to be ready for us. So
I mean, how's a little town like Union managed?
No.
I know.
Well, the thing is, the rules are the same, the hours are the same, the days are the same throughout the state. And the grant was the same for every town. It's just, you know, it's like what works for Union and Bolton and Andover is not the same as Stamford and Waterbury and Hartford, you know. So this, like I said, it's a learning experience. We will see. We'll see how many hours either no one comes or we're swamped.
I have a couple of questions for you. I see you presented a supplement, ad decision. So then that's $4,500. Now, should that number be added to your line 56120 on your workshop?
It should.
Your budget workshop.
It should come out to you.
So the bottom line is going to be actually $4,500 higher than the 147.
Yes, it'll be 151,506. Yeah, and the reason that happened is in these meetings, things have come up and it's like, oh, don't forget, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then we had replaced some of our four station voting booths last year because we had money and we did what we could. So now we still need, we said, oh, we need two more. Then we found out, no, you need four more because again, the way it's four front, it's really four elections on those votes and then early vote. So we originally had factored in two and now we had to add in two more.
And could you tell me how you calculated the payroll for the 29,699 for early voting? And the 32,363 additional district wage increases. Like, So were they, were you, did you pick them? I'm on the decision package number 1 out of 4. Were those just, did you base it on minimum wage or how did you come up with those? It's this one, Bernice?
Yeah, I'm looking in here because I've got two.
I have the spreadsheet up and I'll answer that if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Let me start off by saying we are asking for, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're asking for a reclassification of some of our workers. We currently pay our registrars $23 an hour, and we pay our assistant registrar $17.49 and our election workers $15-something.
Minimum wage.
Yeah, barely minimum wage. And they're working a 16-plus hour day.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a group of people called assistant registrars who are paid slightly more than the election workers. We also have an individual that we, Bernice and I, have instituted that we call our data entry clerk, who does not interface with voters, who is not required to be a resident of the town of Bolton, who comes in about the time the polls close, maybe an hour or two ahead of time, and does nothing but enter the election results. That gives the registrars some extra time to supervise the cleanup, to take a breath and be able to review the results before we put them in. I don't know if you paid attention this week, but it was determined that the results that were filed in two of our major cities, East Haven and Norwalk, were wrong because the moderator put the wrong numbers in the form. It didn't affect the election results, but it did affect state statistics. So we've budgeted for each position based on what we are proposing times the number of hours each would work and how many days they need to work. So I can send to Jim to distribute to all of you the wage breakdown by category. Mm. It's a huge spreadsheet, but I'd be happy to do that.
Mm. Well, that's okay. So basically you have different, you've got a number of different categories of people and they're paid at different hourly rates.
Correct.
And you multiplied how many hours you think they're going to have to work. And that's how you came up with the $29,699 and the $23,363. Okay.
It's like 360 hours minimum. Per our team.
For all the elections.
For all the elections, primaries, early voting, all of that.
Referendum.
So it's per position, no matter who fills it. That's what
per position, yes.
Because you may have one person doing it half a day, another person doing it.
Right, that's why it's hourly.
But that's right.
Yeah. Yes. Per position, per election.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is how many hours. So it's when it's saying 1 hour, it's either two part timers or one full time. You know, for all.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the other thing that needs to be really brought out, our team is all in the 70s and 80s, pretty much.
Yeah.
We have a few people maybe in their 60s. A few in their 50s, maybe. That's it. We're dealing with senior citizens.
We need to get young people in.
Yeah.
Younger
people. So we can, but they're a great team. They're hard workers. They work, and I don't even know how some of them are walking by the end of the day, quite frankly. It's a very, very exhausting day. But their spirit is great, and the camaraderie is great, and they work really hard, and actually, those are the ones that have stepped up to the plate already to me. Within half an hour of me sending out the email, some of them were replying. which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions?
We have.
Big ask. We have some additional questions now about the IT support and other stuff.
I'm looking at that same sheet.
Yes, the add-on.
I'm not sure I understand how many laptops you're requesting. Is it three?
One.
We have one and we need a second one and for the second polling place. So I guesstimated. For the two four station voting booth.
Yeah, so that's the second $600 thing. $600 item and a $2,200 item.
Yeah, yeah.
That's yes. One computer?
Laptop.
One freaking laptop?
For which? So
600.
That should be the 600.
Sure. That's the 600.
Underneath, I see 2,200.
That's for the two four station polling booths.
So it's a total of 2,800.
Oh, okay.
That's for the booths.
All right, that's like
whatever. Oh, no.
All right, the laptop is only in 600.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I mean, the number was making sense.
No, that's what the laptop is for. Okay. We're required to post certain information to the state during the day as the elections proceed.
No. Does anybody else have any questions of us?
Booths that you have to get kind of the station, the other. Yes. Okay.
Kind of, because we have a couple questions too, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the payroll, so that's, you're basing that on your $17 an hour. So that doesn't include anything in addition to that. Are there benefits included in that? And
no.
Town's expenses are not included.
No.
FICA and Social Security and
right.
That's not in their budget. It's in our town personnel budget.
So it would be based on this.
So you would, Jill, you would have to increase your budget for that based on this?
Correct. I take all the salary numbers and I put them in and then do the calculation for payroll taxes on them.
Okay, and that's the only thing that gets paid out on it, with exception to maybe the workers' comp.
Well, I don't think election workers really come into the workman's comp insurance liability at all. I'm not sure that there's,
I would say yes, but maybe not.
I don't know for sure, but right.
We had one got hurt last year. One of our workers had 11:39.
The risk factor, though, not that if we have a claim, but the risk factor is lower than people going that's out right. and about, like fire. The fire.
But I think what you said is it doesn't have a huge impact.
Okay,
correct.
And it may not even be measured.
It might be like 3% instead of 10.
Yeah. Right.
And I believe.
And that's the only benefit they get.
Okay.
Payroll taxes. Yeah.
Did you by any chance look into the unemployment insurance part of the program?
That was our next question. Yeah.
They're not eligible for unemployment.
Nope. She's very correct.
Good. Okay. Just making sure.
Well, the reason I brought it up to you was when we spoke a few weeks ago, there were some towns that after the last election, it wasn't big, but one or two here and there. That people after one day working applied for unemployment. Now with this and working 40 hours and 64 hours a week, it starts putting us in different categories.
Yep. So I think that's the question too. Is there something we need to do to reduce the risk by limiting the hours that somebody works per week or month or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes some of this is driven by hours worked in a given period.
Well, how does it work with seasonal? Then couldn't they be considered like a seasonal worker?
Okay. We have no idea.
Yeah, they pay. You pay.
Yeah.
You pay
based on their salary and their
employees.
They collect.
You pay into the system.
It's based on their salary and job classification. Because every job classification comes with a different risk.
Hmm.
Okay.
And with greater risk. So, we pay more for highway and buildings and grounds people than we pay for office workers.
It all depends on the last four quarters that they worked. Yes. They take the last four quarters and they do. They can apply for unemployment, but seasonal workers, not general. I have a hard time believing that they can collect, just like subs can't collect. Mm.
So
weird things have happened.
So would you say then it's You feel the risk is minimal and that yes. we should just keep going the way we're yeah. going and then we'll see what happens. But even if it does, it would be small and not be a big ding to the town.
It would be classified at whatever rate that type of worker is classified as. Like if you're a roofer,
yeah,
your rate is giant. And if you're landscaping, gardening, it's lower. If you're working at a pole,
it's probably
pretty minimal. Right. But it would still be charged at that rate. The difference of $65,000 of payroll would be attached.
Are you talking about workers' comp or unemployment?
Yeah. Workers' comp.
Okay, because we're talking
about that's different. Yeah.
Okay, because when you went the risks, I said, wait a minute, you're in a different.
I'm sorry, I thought
that's what I thought Jim.
Yeah. Okay. No, but that's good. That's why.
And then there's the IT support. Now you didn't carry anything for that. Is that what happens here?
Well, the state is requiring, and they have the last few years, that on that night when we're doing the reconciliation of everything and filling in EMS and reporting it to the state by midnight. And if we can't, we have to personally drive it in there at midnight with a police escort, by the way. You know, it gets very messy if you can't do it, submit it the way you're supposed to. They want us to have IT support available so that if something happens and goes down, we have somebody to help us because we're not IT people. So when we spoke, I think we spoke with Jim about it, and he said to just try to give you the hours.
Do you know how many days this represents?
Yes, and Ross and I had a big discussion yesterday, and because it overlaps into a regular work day now that we have early voting. So if we have IT personnel on staff or on duty, like at the school, but they know if they get a call, they have to drop everything and come and rescue us. It's not like, like we were saying, they don't need to sit there with us all day.
I guess here's the question. What are their hours? How many hours are we contracting with Novus for support during the week from, you know, Monday through Sunday? And then how much does that overlap our hours that we need to be open for, you know, early voting or regular voting? Because if it overlaps, then, you know, and they don't mind coming to help us, then you don't need to pay extra for that because they're already here and they would be coming over to help us anyway.
So it can get a little messy, right? Because there's two separate contracts. Definitely. There's a contract with the school, there's a contract with the town.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
If they're working for the school, they can't really jump over, you know, on the school budget's time and help the registrars. Yep.
Are they
an issue?
Is there someone from Novus on call during all our working hours or here or available?
So the answer is yes. Somebody from the Novus team is generally available during our working hours, with the exception of Tuesdays. They end their work day before we end our work day.
Because that's our day.
That's our 12-hour day right. And Thursdays.
But they work a typical, you know, 8:30 to, you know, 5 type schedule. So they're, you know, they're not, you know, even for us on Tuesdays after 5 o'clock, you know, unless it's an emergency, we don't have support normally. So a couple more questions. So it'd be good to know how many days this is.
Well, early voting is 224 hours.
So when you say days, Jim, do you mean calendar days?
I'm basing this off of the last experience that we had, right? You had a request that for them to be available from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight. Is that still the request?
Yes, for election day and primary days. Right.
Yeah, that's correct for elections and primaries. For early voting days, it's different. And early voting days, in the next fiscal year, will be Saturday and Sunday as well.
Not this year.
So do you have a copy of that?
Yes, not
here.
We just have one Saturday.
One Saturday because of Easter. Easter Sunday, they actually.
And we don't have to go crazy with this discussion tonight. We can work on this as a team together outside of the meeting.
We need to sit down
and work out a bit more.
You know, calendar.
So this typically is paid for, you know, not out of your budget, but out of the administration budget. You know, unless Jill and or the Board of Selectmen feel like they'd like to see this in this budget rather than the administration budget. So we know what that total cost is, what the impact is for that particular service.
Yeah, again, I just wanted to bring it up to because so it wouldn't get us by surprise.
To me, it's
a concern.
I don't think it's as important as which bucket it goes into, as long as we know what the size of what's going into the bucket is. They can explain it.
Right.
Okay, is there any other questions? I see Amanda jumped in. Does Amanda have questions? I suppose she'd have her hand up.
I think the only other thing that we just need to say, this gets back to what you were saying at the beginning about, you know, sort of work closely together this year, is also with where we're located by the, you know, we're going to be in the temporary building. Mm-hmm. And later on, we're going to be doing demolition. So we have to work around, you know, how that demolition goes that compared calendar. To the early voting.
Yep, we have that calendar.
Yep.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the right place to bring this up during budget, but when is your next regular BOS meeting?
Tuesday, next week.
Next week?
The 6th.
Okay. We have to submit and have your approval, believe it or not, first of our emergency plan for the voting.
Do you have it together already?
Yes, pretty much.
Can you send it to us tomorrow morning? This evening?
Not this evening.
The budget, the information has to go out. We can always send it out on Monday as a supplemental package, but I need to put it on the agenda.
Yes, please put it on
the agenda. Is going to get posted tomorrow.
That would be good. And then we can do the supplement. Because the thing I have to bring up, Ross and I talked about yesterday.
Floor plan as well for...
Yeah, we have to do a floor plan with that for the new place, which...
What kind of time frame do you think you're going to need for that?
ASAP. So
no,
that
I
has
meant for the agenda item, guys. How long? Just a matter of us approving your.
Oh plans? Yeah, you'll just look so, at okay. it, and because it has to go to the state, and they want you to look at it first.
Okay.
But we also have to have an emergency plan for early voting. So the only thing we can see is room A where we are as the emergency. If something really happens in the temporary building,
leave that cabling up on the wall.
Okay.
So that if we do have to go back,
that's our emergency backup.
That's our backup.
What was
no, seriously.
If you, I know.
Leave,
I
the,
know.
Leave the cable.
Leave the cable. Yes, and yes, just plug it in. Plug it back in.
Absolutely.
Just take everything out of out of the temp building and stick it back where it was.
and
assuming the equipment doesn't go with the building.
There we go.
Right. So that will all be in there. And now we have the two districts, whereas before the plan only had for one district. So we have some tweaking to do to before I present it to you or give it to you in the supplement. But I'd like to get it as well. There is a deadline, but the sooner we get it to the state, the better.
So I think the best one, like you said, would be just coming.
With the first election's position, I can add it to the agenda. And then as soon as you get it to me, if you can get it to me on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, we can send it out as a supplemental package to the board.
And then this, someone like I said, it's just got to be tweaked. There may be some supplemental pages added in there, and that's how we'll go. Okay. Thank you. I just wanted you to be aware that was coming as well.
Thank you for a thorough delivery of the package.
Very
thorough.
Yeah. Oh.
And the presentation.
We just hope those questions don't turn into
more dollar signs.
Well, it goes with the comment at the end of this thing. The state does it to us again.
Yeah.
It does, because we should not be having two polling places for District 1 and District 2 when we do not have anything on the ballot, except when the case of the state representative is on the ballot, and it's not in this case. So this is artificial, and it's
It's the state of Connecticut and bureaucratic hassle.
And right now, even if we.
Pardon me, but.
Mr. Moore?
I apologize to my side. The other side did it.
I would just add one clarification to that too, is that even if we put it in one building, you'd still have to do, we can't combine lists.
Right.
No, that's obvious, but you wouldn't need double the manpower.
Yes, you would.
Almost.
It doesn't.
Could District 1 and a District 2. Is the question I'm bringing up.
And we
if it's a primary, it's still different. Four elections. If it's one, you.
No, probably Republican and Democratic, and there'd be two.
Right.
But two in each place.
It would not need to be two in each place if there's.
If there's regular one, election.
If you're talking about. Yeah.
Right, that's what
we're saying. That should be saved.
Because we did that last year. So,
right.
We should ask for a legislative change.
With the division down the middle. Yeah.
And
plant.
It's saved a little bit by having it in one place that way, because you didn't need separate.
That's the legislative change.
So we buy everything.
The budget conversation is all set.
I think so. Yeah, I think I know we're all.
I would just ask if you want to let the registrars know when you want to have further discussion about the IT stuff, and we can meet on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we are available at any time to anybody. If you have questions, you think of something.
After 9
comment.
After 9 a.m. Just kidding.
I know.
We're good.
We'll send you an email.
Yeah, my work day starts at available at 7:30 because I'm in the car for an hour and a half.
So, yeah. All right, if we're good. We can move on to our next.
Yes. Thank you for
so
listening.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night, guys.
Do we want to let everybody bail? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys.
You're welcome.
You guys handle
Tim and I do a lot better than I do. I said you and I'll do it for 25. Absolutely.
What do you do for 25?
Kids on the table, call 2,000 people for 25 grand.
Get students to do it for free, first of all.
All right. Are we ready for Jill?
We're ready
for
Jill.
So my budget's pretty boring. Just the increases in payroll. And we do have situations though here. First of all, depending on how we handle the fire commission's budget, with those new people coming on the payroll, it's going to cost my budget more money for W-2 forms, envelopes, and that type of thing. Because that could be up to like 40 people coming onto the payroll. So that will cost us more money. So, and I didn't anticipate that additional payroll on my budget for the forms. So we may have to talk about that after we talk about the fire commission budget. But so that's one thing. But let me, I just want to explain to you what the professional technical service line is about. We have to report OPEB. It's it's benefits that we have to, it's a liability number that we have to put on our books based on age, the retirement. It's a mandate, right? We have no choice. We have to pay an actuary to do an actuarial study to give us a number to put on our books as a liability. Because older people that are retired, see, the teachers can be on our insurance until they're 65 or eligible for Medicare. So we keep them on our insurance. They pay the whole cost, but their use is much higher than someone who's 25. So someone came up with a real great idea to do an actuarial study of how much those people that are on our insurance and retired cost versus the younger ones. And it's a liability number that we never realize, but we have to have it on our statements. So that's that. So we have to have an actuarial study. Then we also have someone that reports our debt on Emma. This is a federal thing. So that's another part of that. But just this week, we couldn't file our 1099s to the IRS because you have to go through a whole process of this ID me thing. And we're going to have 4 people get ID me identifications. We didn't know about this when we went to file on Friday, our 1099s. Yes. So we had to pay a third party to file them for us. So my worry was what the fine would be to the town if we didn't get them in on time. So we paid, it was $200, which is minimal, I think, compared to what we could have been fined. But I'm not sure how this is going to play out next year. We spent 3 straight days trying to get these uploaded onto the IRS website. It was awful, but we got it done. The W-2s and the 1099s are all filed, and it was awful, but we did it. It just cost money I didn't expect out of my budget, and it's fine. I'll make it work, but I don't know what's going to happen next year.
Was that the W-2s and the 1099s?
Well, no, it was just the 1099s. The W-2 actually goes through the Social Security office and then on to IRS. So it's filtered differently than the 1099s, go directly to the IRS. And that's where we had the problem. And I spoke to other finance directors in the state, and they were having problems too. It was awful, but we got through it. We're done, but I don't know what the cost is going to be. We have to get this. ID me is really awful to get. So unfortunately, Jim's going to have to do it, and I'm going to have to do it. Lisa's the only one right now that is certified with ID me. But in order to make this work, and I don't even know if it's going to work great either. So it's a learning curve for us, as far as this is concerned. And we didn't even know this was going to happen until we went to try to file the 1099s. But that being said, I don't know how my budget, and if it is what it is, I'll make it work some way. But I'm concerned about the supply line if we add 40 people onto our payroll.
Well, we'll have to take that into account when that happens.
Right. Once we figure out...
If it happens too, right. Because right now, remember, the funds are distributed as a one-time payment to the department. They in turn distributed based on that criteria.
Correct.
And if, so I don't see why that would have to change.
Correct. But if it
other than full-time employees, you know, all these different people being paid on different levels, it's just a matter of having the criteria written up on how the funds are distributed and done.
Correct.
So our finance department stays out of it.
And so either way, however the Board of Selectmen decide, you know, it's up to you. But Bruce was pushing for us to do that. And that's fine if that's what you decide, but it may cost
us a little. That's the auditor?
No. That was Bruce's decision, had nothing to do with the auditor.
Oh. My favorite.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Jill, the increase in payroll for next year does not seem quite high enough.
Right.
Well, okay, so the reason why it isn't as high as it should be is because a couple years ago, the selectmen said that I could put up to 40 hours a week from the 2 people in my office to work, because we're kind of swamped. But being union people, I can't make them work. And what I found was one of them didn't want to work and one of them did want to work more hours. And I just didn't feel that was fair. And so I adjusted my hours down, you know, hours per week down a little last year, kind of looked to see how it went this year. I adjusted them down a little bit more. to save the town money, because I can't make people work. If their union contract says they work 37 hours, I can't make them work more. So well,
I think I know Amanda has her hand up, but I think we also, you know, I think it's appropriate for you to begin to have conversations with this board and with me about your staffing level. I know that you are absolutely swamped. So I'd really like you to, you know, talk to this board while you have their attention about where you're at with your staffing levels and where you think it should be, you know, either this year, next year, or somewhere down the line. Because I know with, you know, grants are wonderful. All of the, you know, other things that we do are wonderful. But this grant administration adds a lot of extra effort, both to your office and my office, but more your office than mine, because you've got to track every expense. And there was more things happening with ACH. The banking is putting more demands on your team. So I'd like you to talk about that a little bit.
You're absolutely right. It's painful, and I know that the two people that work for me, they're doing their best, they're working hard, and when it comes to crunch time, you know, they go stay late, come in early, and do what they have to do. But it's all the demands on us are getting harder and harder to just. I have now taken on. I enter all of the tax deposits. I enter all of the ACHs that come from the state. I do all of the entry for the Bolton Lakes revenues because they need help, because there's just not enough of us. And I know it doesn't sound like much. Other towns can do it in less, but there's a lot of demand having, you know, the rental on the properties, and we take in money. We have to send money back out when they rent Herrick Park. And there's a lot going on. But and the ACAs that the federal government requires now is an additional, it's a lot of work. The state insurance is a lot of work. There's a huge demand. And we also, the more, so we have a multiple of areas that people can electronically pay, which is great for the residents, but that those figures and those numbers and those deposits don't jump into our computer system. They have to be sorted, because we'll get lumps of numbers that go into different departments. So it has to be sorted out. It has to then be deposited. And we do all the deposits for the Board of Education accounts, all their lunch deposits, all their grant deposits. All of the town clerks got at least three or four different electronic payments on top of the cash payments. We also have to scan checks that come into our office, and then that has to be entered. It's more and more and more all the time that we're just out straight. And I mean, I don't know. We don't need another full-time person, but it's gotten to the point where I just feel like I'm not paying attention to things the way I used to be able to, because it's just so much. And like Jim said, then there's the grants. You know, everybody's sending in, grants are kind of confusing, and we have so many. People are sending in requests for payments, and you know, Sean's kind of new, and he's like, I'm not sure which grant this is. And no, Sean's doing great. You know, he's still on a learning curve too. But so we have to try to figure out which grant, make sure it gets to the right grant. I have to make sure it's in the right line, because all this has to be reported back to the state. It's audited by our auditor. So all these grants, and we're not talking little grants. We're talking a lot of grants, a large dollar amount. On top of the little ones we get here and there, it's a lot of keeping track of, making sure you have the right grant. It's a lot of work. Grants are wonderful. I understand, but they come with a lot of work.
Should we bring up Amanda?
Go ahead, Amanda.
Thanks. Couple questions, first a comment on the fire department. I was kind of thinking what Bobby was that if they opt to pay all of their, that they were going to continue to do stipends under option one, but if option two came to fruition where they wanted to add the two daytime staff, then that would add a small burden on you. But that may have been my confusion in thinking that. Obviously I made my voice clear during that meeting, but my concern is making sure that wherever that money goes, it's transparent to the taxpayers because it's taxpayer dollars. Can you help me, just because I apologize, I'm not as familiar with your staffing. So what is the FTE level for your department?
There's three of us, full-time.
All full, okay. All three-time, okay. Yeah. And then what software do you use for our
Tyler?
Our finances?
Tyler, it's Immunis-based, but Tyler.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Pam?
The education questions that you brought, filings that you're doing for the education department, the school board?
The lunches.
The lunches and that kind of thing. And
we do the deposit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Has it always been the case that you've done that?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure what happened before I came along, but since I've been here, 8 years that I've been here, we've always done all of their bank recs for their grants and their cafeteria fund and their regular general fund. We do all the bank recs. We do all of their stuff. Yeah.
And have you ever, we should perhaps look at that because they have this full staff too, and it's falling onto us. That's a harder.
Do you know how big their financial staff is over there?
Jill, how big is their financial staff?
They have three also.
Thank you.
The problem with, because we have a zero balance accounts and their grant account, their accounts payable account, and their payroll account all zero out into the general fund account, it gets messy. So in order for us to balance, if they balance their, they can't really balance the zero balance accounts because it balances out, it zeroes out into the general fund, which is ours to balance.
Oh.
Not the cafeteria though. The cafeteria does not zero out.
Because?
It's just the way it was set up. I changed the grant account to zero out into the to the general fund because several times they would not tell us when they were getting low on money and they would bounce checks. So in order to keep that from happening and not getting a call from the bank, I said, let's just make it zero out into the general fund so that doesn't happen. So, because the problem here is that all of the grant money that comes from the state is ACH'd into the general fund of the town.
Yes. School or town?
Both.
School. Correct. Goes into the town. All ACHs that come from the state go into the general fund. School, all of them. So we get all of their money into the general fund.
Amanda, still
got her
hand up.
No, you know, it's her hands up again.
Bob, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Amanda had her hand up before me.
You still have your hand up, Amanda?
Yeah, I was just thinking, so I'm not familiar with Tyler. That's not one of the ones that I've worked with. But you talked a lot about having to put data from someplace into that system. So I'm assuming for all that, you're doing like a manual journal entry for every single transaction.
Correct.
Have we reached out to Tyler or explored other options that would allow for integrations and the importing of that data from other systems into our system so that you don't have to do a manual data entry for every single transaction?
No, it's not. It's not really possible because, first of all, the state ACHs money into the general fund. They don't have anything that's going to be integratable. The checks that we get and scan There's nothing, we have to manually, there's nothing else you can, there's nothing to upload.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of those, the online collection sources.
Well, here's the problem with one of them, Stripe, which it brings in from the building department, from the...
And the rec department.
Yep. Well, rec department actually is on a separate, they come in totally separate from building and land use, your department for the trash and for the dog fund. Yep. Those three come in a lump. And I don't know if they could actually, if there was any, it's kind of, I don't know if there's actually, I don't know if with Stripe we could have it separated. I know Jenna gets reports monthly and then she takes in, because we'll get one, I don't know that they can, because we get like lumps of money every single day from Stripe, every day. It's without a doubt. We get money and then Jenna has to pull it apart and put it into each different department, which I don't know if Stripe has the capacity to do that. I know they couldn't do it with Stephanie's because it goes into different revenue accounts, but I don't know. I mean, I guess we could look into Stripe, but that's the only one that I see we could be, because the town clerk has vital records. They have CSC, Simplifile, and I know that she wanted to add another one, but we run out of daylight trying to get stuff in. It's just, I mean, we have eliminated all of our accounts with Webster. So that took away 25 bank recs a month, but yeah, we were doing over 52, 53 bank recs a month now. Okay. So, but I added to our misery a little bit. Just between us, I know this is recorded though, but the STIF account, which is the state investment account, actually has really good rates. So I took money from Bolton Lakes, the cemetery, most of the cemetery money, some of the general fund money that was in M&T Bank and the rainy day fund money, and I put it in STIF to make over 5% interest. So we're really, it's doing well, but that added to the extra bank reconciliations we have to do. But to me, it's worth it because the town is making some pretty good interest on those accounts right now. And hopefully, you know, the interest will stay.
To put Founders State Fund as well?
The Founders Day Fund is part of the general fund. So no. Because
thank you.
See, I have to be careful and not take too much out of Chelsea Grattan, because Grattan looked at our history and that's when they gave us the 4% interest rate based on our history. So I can't take too much out of there because I have to keep enough in that Chelsea Grattan in order to be, I believe it's $5 million has to be no interest earned on it. And then anything over that gets the interest, which 4% isn't awful either.
But it's a delicate balance.
It is. But what we also, it's STIF is nice and it's a nice interest rate and everything, but it's not as liquid as having it at Chelsea Grattan where we're writing checks off of either.
Hey, Bob.
Just one question. If you could sometime, in the very near future, get to Jim or to someone what you think would be a appropriate a number of hours for a part-timer to, you know, fill this void that you currently have to, probably more efficiently do some of this. I'm not asking you for it tonight to do off the top of your head, but I think that's something that would be, for me, it'd be something to look at and try to make some decision with, rather than just pulling a number out of the air and say, how's that work for you? I'd rather hear, for me, what you think would be a reasonable number of hours, additional hours for a part-timer to work.
I can do that. I'll talk with Jenna and Lisa also and see how their feelings are on it, because certainly, you know, we all – kind of pitch in. And I, the other day I was stuffing W-2s because it needed to be done. You know, we just do what has to be done to get what we need done. So certainly I'll talk to them about it and see their feelings on everything, but I can do that.
And thank I appreciate you.
You even considering it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No. Did you have anything else, Dad?
No, no. I think this was a good discussion.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the really short budget you said. Isn't that what you started off?
You're welcome.
Is it?
Thank you, Jill. And there's
is,
only
is it in order to motion so, to adjourn?
It's all that's left.
Second.
Thanks.
All in favor.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.